Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, the first words on the Amud, Esrei. At the end of the previous shiur, we discussed a shaila where somebody said Kikri Alecha, which, as we learned, seems to be a self-contradictory statement. Kikri seems to indicate that this loaf is going to be also to you only as long as it's my loaf. If it's not my loaf, it's not kikri, and shouldn't be usur. The word alecha seems to imply that you should never be allowed to have benefit from this loaf. So what's the halacha? So Rava said that the halacha is that the loaf is usur forever. And even if I give this loaf to the person that I said should not have benefit from it, he will not be allowed to benefit from the loaf. Although, at the end of the shiur, we pointed out a question. Rava still sticks to his opinion that kikri alecha may not be used to the person who I made the neder that should not be allowed to benefit from this may never benefit from it. Ask the Gemara. Eisvei, it says in a brisa, Omalai hashileni parascha. Somebody asks me, could I borrow your cow? I'm like kainem para shenikani loch. I make a nether that you cannot use my cow. Nechsi alecha, where I say you may not use any of my property. Im yeshli para elazul. If I have any other cow besides this one, so posh pshat in the Gemara, which is somehow difficult to understand, is that you come over to me to ask me to borrow my cow, and I don't have any other cow besides this cow, and therefore I can't lend it to you because I need it myself. And to show how serious and how true the statement is that I have no other cow and therefore cannot lend you this cow, I say that if I have more than this cow, my nechasim should be usur to you. The problem with this pshat, that's posh pshat in the Gemara. The problem with this pshat is, it doesn't really make sense that if I'm trying to express to you that I don't have anything besides this cow, I have no other cow, why am I saying that if I do have more than this cow, everything I own should be also to you? How does that point made by saying this? So therefore, there's a very interesting pshat from the Ritva, which, even though it's not necessarily the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, it seems to be beautiful, and we may even use it to answer a different kasha. Ritva says, actually, our Gemara reflects a dialogue. Someone comes over to me and asks me, can I borrow your cow? I say, I'm sorry, I'd love to. I can't, I have no other cow. The person doesn't believe me. So he says to me, if you have another cow, then you should be usur to have any benefit from me. That means the person who wants to borrow the cow is saying to me, the potential lender, that if you're not saying the truth, then everything, that I should never be allowed to have benefit from him. That's how the Ritva learns the Gemara. And it's similar in the next case. Hashalani kadumach. Somebody approaches me and asks me to borrow my shovel. Amalei kainim kadim shieshli shanikoni. I have no other shovel. Nichsiolayim yeshli kadim elazu. V'nimtsa sheyeshli. And then it turns out that I was lying, and I do have a shovel besides the shovel that I say is the only shovel I have. I do have a cow besides the cow that I said, besides any other cow. The loch is b'chayiv osur. So the nether becomes a valid nether. And whatever pshat that we learn, that's not difficult to understand. Whether it's I, the potential lender, who made the nether, or we followed the Ritva's pshat, that it was you, the potential borrower, who made the nether, since it turned out that I had made a nether, if I have any other cow, if I have any other shovel, then the nether should be valid. And I did have another cow, I did have another shovel, the nether is valid, as long as the person who made the nether is alive. However, mace, or shenitin lavim matana, however, once the person passes away, or it's given away as a gift, hareza mutter. So we see that even though I said that you may not use my cow, you may not use my shovel, or even if we follow the Ritva's pshat, the other way around, there the halacha is that you're not, that it's only asr as long as it's in my rishus. But if I give it to you, or you give it to me, whichever pshat we use, the nether is no longer valid. We learned, according to Rava, that giving it b'matana would not be an appropriate way of allowing the other person to use the object of the nether. So Kivayga asks a very obvious question. He says, as we said at the beginning of the shir, he doesn't say it in those words. So Kivayga in the Gilyan Ashas. Kivayga says like this, in the previous Gemara, as we started today's shir, we had a distinct problem. The person used self-contradictory words. Kikri alecha. And we had a challenge how to deal with those words. In our shir, in our Gemara, there's nothing superfluous about the nether. There's nothing superfluous about the nether. So therefore, Rekiva Ega asks, maybe the nether is, if I made the nether, if the borrower made the nether is only as long as it's in his rishus, or vice versa. Why, says Rekiva Ega, could we bring, is this a kashan rov? Rekiva Ega remains with a tzarechian on this pshat. The Chassam Sofer attempts to say, an answer to Rekiva Ega's kasha, he says, the point that Rav is making is that as soon as somebody says Olecho, as soon as someone makes a nether, we don't have to look at the whole package. We have to look at that word. And what Rav was saying is, as soon as such a nether is made, that nether remains valid, even if it's given away as a gift. So it should make a difference, all the other circumstances. Obviously, Rekiva Ega is holding that we have to look at all the circumstances. In our Gemara, there were very clear circumstances, specifically as the Ritva explains, that it was a reaction to you feeling that I'm trying to avoid lending you something. Whereas in the previous Gemara, it was in a vacuum for itself, and that's why it's different. Amrav Achav Rei D'Ravika. So how does Rav Achav Rei D'Ravika answer this question? Shenitin lo yidei Achav. Even if we'll follow Rava's psak, that Rava says that if I say kikri olecha, whatever the wording is, you are not allowed to benefit from me ever, that's only if I give it directly from me to you. But let's say there's another individual in between. I say, going back to the easier Gemara, yesterday's case, where I say you may not benefit from my loaf of bread. And I don't give you the loaf directly. I give it to another person, and that person gives it to you. That even Rava, that circumstance even Rava would agree is not a situation of Isser, because it didn't go directly from me to the person who I said shouldn't benefit. And that's why this Gemara, and that's the case that this Braisa of Sesh Nitin Lama Matana is referring to. And the Gemara goes further to say, Dekanami, that's the proper pshat in this Braisa. Dektani Shenitin Aloy, Veloktani Shenosn Aloy. The way most Mefarshim explain is, brises don't come with nekudas. So we learned the word shenosno, that it was given. So given means from me to you. But he says, if you really look at the word isn't shenosno, the word is shenitno. It was given by someone else. When there was another person involved, certainly even Rava would agree that that's not considered violating the net. Ask the Gemara, b'ayim nei Rava Rav Nachman, yesh milu b'kanamis oiloi. Is there a concept of Mila by Kainomis or not? We know, we discussed it in the previous year, that the halach is by Hegdish. If someone takes an item of Hegdish and uses it for his own purpose, the halach is that he's Mail by Hegdish. By Hegdish the halach is, if somebody's Mail by Hegdish, you have to pay Karen v'chaymish, you have to pay back the principal, plus a chaymish, plus, you have to bring a Sham Me'ilas. As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, a very typical way of making a neder, one of the kinuim that we discussed, Baruch Hashem, so many times in our Masechta, is using the word kainim. Is using the word kainim. The word kainim, we said, is another way of saying carbon. So now the question is, if I said that this item should be offered to me like a kainim, am I turning it into a hegdish? And if I'm turning it into a hegdish, the halacha should be that all the halachas of me'ila b'hegdish should apply, or not. So the simplest way of learning the Gemara, which is not going to be the approach we're going to use, we're just going to use it for a moment, is some of Farshim explain the Gemara very simply. When I go and I say that this item should be us to me with a kainim, I really meant a nether. I didn't really mean hegdish. So we should say it's not hegdish. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, the word kainim means carbon. So even if that really wasn't my intent, and even if that's not really what I just meant a nether, I used the word kainim. And once I use the word kainim, it becomes a carbon. And once it's a carbon, it becomes hegdish, and the halachas of hegdish apply. That's the way some of Farshim explained the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amalei Tinesua. There's a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Makim Shenotin Laschar. We learned in our Mishnah that if I made a nether, as we discussed in the previous year, if I made a nether, that I may not benefit from you. Or vice versa, as we learned. And now you return an item of mine that was lost. And in this place where we live, typically a reward is given. So if the case is that you may not have enough from me, and I may not have enough from you, the simplest way of explaining the Mishnah, so now there's a problem with the reward. I can't give you the reward, because you're not allowed to benefit from me. I can't keep the reward. Why can't? Because if I keep the reward, I'm benefiting from you. So what did the Mishnah say under those circumstances should be done? Tipal hanor lahegdish. We should take that value, the amount that the reward that would be given typically under such a circumstance, and give it to hegdish. Tinesua, makam shnaitan laschar, tipal hanor lahegdish. Lememra, what's the Mishnah teaching us? Ki hegdish. Whenever a nether is made, we have a situation of hegdish. Ma hegdish yesh ba mi'ila, af kanamis yesh ba mi'ila. Just like by hegdish, there's mi'ila, because so too by kanamis. What our Gemara is saying is, since, and there's a machlokes how to explain the Gemara. The machlokes ran and rush. The Ran learns the Gemara in the following way. The Ran says, throughout Shas, where somebody's left with something that he's not allowed to have, there's not a benefit from. What does the Gemara usually say? What does the Mishnah usually say? Mishnah usually says, Tipal hano liyam hamelach. All of a sudden, our Mishnah uses a new wording. Tipal hano lahegdish. What does the Mishnah use this new wording of Tipal hano lahegdish? Says the Ran, that the Mishnah is trying to teach us there's a direct connection from the Dorim to Hegdish. That's what the Ran learns, the Gemara. But not, says the Ran, the Mefarshman explaining the Ran, to say that you can't put in the Yam HaMelech. According to the Ran, you could put into Yam HaMelech too. The reason the Mishnah chose to say Hegdish versus Yam HaMelech, because the Mishnah wants to teach us this thing, that Nedarim are connected to Hegdish. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. The Rosh is a lot more stringent than the Ran. The Rosh says, it's not that, according to the Ran, I have a choice. I could put the reward money to Hegdish, I could put the reward money to Yam HaMelech. The Rosh says we don't have any options. Since Nedarim are a form of Hegdish, so we have this money that I can't keep nor give to you, I only have one option. What's the one option? Tipal Hanola Hegdish. It has to go to the Hegdish. Why? Because Nedarim is Hegdish. Kanamas are Hegdish. So now, the Mefarshim use this as the springboard to discuss Mi'ila b'kainamis, and there's a very fundamental machloikus Ran and Rosh. If we'll hold, as the Gemara actually comes to the maskana that way, that there is mi'ila b'kainamis. So as I said before, if I'm mo'il b'hegdish, what's the halacha? I have to give a karen v'chaimish, and I have to give a carbon. Let's say I'm mo'il in a nether. I'm not allowed to have benefit from this item. I went and it was mo'il. I had benefit from the item. What will be the halacha? So the Ran says, the discussion of the Gemara is only regarding carbon. It's not regarding the Keren V'chaimish. What's Keren V'chaimish? I didn't take anything from Hegdish. The Ross says, no. If our Gemara is comparing Kainamis to Hegdish, it's a perfect comparison. Just like by Hegdish, if you're Moyel, you have to bring a carbon, and you have to give Keren V'chaimish, no different if you're moil in a neder? Who would you give the Keren V'Chomish to? If I'm moil behegdish, you have to give the money to hegdish. If I'm moil in a neder, who do I give the money to? So the Rishonim, who learn like the Rosh, say you would have to give the money to hegdish. How do we understand the machloikus of the Ran and the Rosh? So Mefarshim explained that the machloikus of the Ran and the Rosh is how do we understand Mila B'Kanamis. The Rosh holds that if I say that this item is koinim to me, it's a full-fledged hegdish. So all the dinim of hegdish apply. All the dinim of hegdish apply. I have to bring a carbon, and I have to give Keren V'Chomish to the base of, to hegdish. The Ran says, I didn't make it hegdish. Why would I have to give Keren V'Chomish to hegdish? All I did was, I made it osa b'hano. And since I made it osa b'hano, specific the halacha is that the Torah tells us that whenever I benefit from something that I'm not allowed to benefit from, whenever I have hano from something I'm not allowed to have hano from, tells us the Torah you have to bring a carbon. Not because I stole from anybody. Who did I steal from? This doesn't belong to Agdish. I don't owe the Keren V'Chomish. And this shaila has repercussions in so many different areas. For example, there's a halacha that Mi'ila doesn't apply to something that's connected to the ground. So let's say I will make a neder that I'm not allowed to have hanor from something that's connected to the ground. According to the Rosh, I'll say kainim to this fruit that's connected to the ground. According to the Rosh, there's no mi'ila. Because the Rosh says that mi'ila of kainim and mi'ila of hegdish are identical. So if there's no mi'ila of hegdish, there's no mi'ila of kainim. The Ran says that this is not a typical mi'ila like we have throughout Shas, and therefore, even if it's connected to the ground, it's something I made in Isser Hanor, and I have to bring the carbon if I violate the nether. Another example that I saw the Mefarshim discuss. Let's say I'll have, interesting Shaila, I'll have two items. I'll have a chat, we know of food to be also as a kazayis. So let's say I have a chatzi kazayis of Hegdish, and I have a chatzi kazayis of something that I made Osir Bekoinim. Could these two items combine? According to the Rosh, they can combine. Because Koinim and Hegdish, according to the Rosh, are identical. According to the Ran, they're not identical. They're two different types of Isurim, and they couldn't combine for a Shir. Another Nafkamina. There's a special din, we've discussed it, Mitzvah Shem HaShem will help, we'll discuss it again. Even though throughout Shas, the halacha is, Ain't Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, by Mi'ila, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So if I asked you to take something that's Hegdish and use it, and you followed my instructions, you didn't deviate, even though normally Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira, here I'm Oiver. So let's say I made a neder that nobody's allowed to benefit from this item. And now I ask somebody to benefit from it. If we say that it's a full-fledged, it's the same like any other Hegdish, then there would be a concept that by Koinem, by Mi'ila, the shliach is not chayiv, the mishaleich is chayiv. If it's a new situation, then we apply the concept of ein shliach l'dvar aveira. Another shaila. Let's say I said something's osur b'hano, but I did not use the word koinim. I said I'm not allowed to have hano, but I didn't use the word koinim. According to the Rosh, I would not be considered mila. Because the Rosh says that what's pshat in the Gemara, that when I use the word kainim, it becomes hegdish. But I have to use the word kainim. If I didn't use the word kainim, it wouldn't be hegdish. According to the Ran, what's pshat in the Gemara, if something is osur b'hano, and I violate that isser, I have to bring the carbon. So the fact that I used the word kainim, or the fact that I used the words isser hano, doesn't make any difference. The Ran is telling us that if I violate and I have hano from something that I'm not allowed to have hano, I have to bring a carbon. Those are some of the nafkaminas between the Ran and the Rosh. There are actually more, but we'll stay with this because we have to go further. Says the Gemara, Kitanoi, this shaila of yesh mila b'kainomis or not is machlokes tanon. Let's say, says the Braisa, kainam kika zeh hegdish. Somebody says that this kika should be hegdish for ochla. And he goes and eats it. Bein hu bein chaveri. It makes no difference who eats it. Mo, because it has a din of hegdish. Lefikach, since it has the din of hegdish, yesh lepidyon. it has the din that it is subject to pidyon, that could be redeemed, like all hagdish could be redeemed. However, continues the brisa, let's say somebody said kiko zai ze olai hagdish, he only said it also to me, not to the rest of the world. Vachloi humo, if I eat it, so I violate it, and I was moil. Chaveroi loy mal. But says the brisa, this is the way most rishonim, since this is a limited hegdish, it's only hegdish to me, not hegdish to the whole world. Where is there a halacha that hegdish could be redeemed? Something that's hegdish to the whole world. But something which is a private hegdish, says the brisa, it's only hegdish to me, the fikach and pidyon. The typical halacha that hegdish could be redeemed doesn't apply here. Divrei Rameya. Chamamim, ben kach ben kach loymal, there's never mila, lefish ein mila b'kainamis. So this machlaikis, this shaila of yesh mila b'kainamis or not, is actually machlaikis Ramey and the Chachamim, with Ramey holding yesh mila b'kainamis, and Rabbanan holding ein mila b'kainamis. So the Ran asks a very interesting shaila. According to the Manda Omer, yesh mila b'kainamis, asked the Ran, we know that there's a halacha as follows. If somebody's moil behegdish, to the terrible aveira. If somebody's moil behegdish, the halacha is keren v'chaymish v'karbon. But what happens to that item that I was moiling? The halacha is that the item I was moiling now becomes, is no longer hegdish. What would be the halacha, asked the Ran, if I made something into a kainim and then I used it for my own benefit? Is it still the subject of the nether or not? So going back to what we said earlier, the Mefarshim say only the Ran can ask the Shaila. According to the Rosh, who completely compares Kainamis to Hegdish, there's no room for the Shaila. Because why would it be any different? Only according to the Ran, that says that Kainam is not really Hegdish. It's just an Isser Hanor. So the Ran wants to know, will there be a din? That if I benefit from something that's also b'hanah, and I have to bring the carbon, it becomes mutter b'hanah, or perhaps one has nothing to do with the other. The carbon I have to bring because I violated this ahanah, but the isa hanah still remains. What? The Ran doesn't answer the shaila, he just poses a question. Amar of Achabereder of Avular Vashi. Kikri Alecha. We learned, if I say that my loaf is also to you, v'nasnulam b'matanam. I go and I say that you may not benefit from this loaf, and then I go and I give it to you as a gift. Mimol. Limum noisen. Am I the one that did the mila? Why? Halei sirale. I didn't do any mila. It's not also a benefit to me. Limum makabel. Should a makabel be considered the one that did mila? Yochel de oimer. The person who was makabel, who wasn't aware. In other words, I gave you a loaf. Let's just think through the case here. I said you may not benefit from this loaf. You're not aware of the nether. And I go and I give it to you. And you take it. Are you oiva me'ila? So says the Gemara, why should you be oiva me'ila? Yochad Omer, you could say, the terbi isa l'isur l'abisa. If I would know that I'm not allowed to benefit from this loaf, I would have never taken it. So why should I be oiva me'ila? Ask the Ran a gvalda gakasha. The Ran asks, as we've said, Mi'il is only b'shagig. If somebody b'mezid uses an item of hegdish, it's not considered mi'ila. Mi'ila by definition is b'shagig. So yes, I gave you the item. You were totally clueless that this item was also to you. But why should that absolve you from mi'ila? Mi'ila is always when you don't know you're doing an aveira. So the Ran says a very big yesod. The Ran says, where is mi'ila possible? You have an item of hegdish in your home. And you forget that this item is hegdish, and you use it for your own purpose. That's called me'ila. You were a shagig, but that's me'ila. But if you never knew that the item was hegdish, how could that be considered me'ila? You would have never accepted it. And I saw the Sharm Tzion about, and that's why the Gemara doesn't even have a havamina, that you should be considered a moil behegdish if you get the item from me and without knowing that it's also to you. And I saw that the Sharm Tzion about locha uses this lahaloch lemaisa. We know on Pesach, you're not allowed to benefit from chametz. Let's say, unbeknownst to you, somebody puts chametz into your rishos. Are you over by your rabbi matzah? It's chametz in Yerushas. Says the Shem Tzion Balak. In our Gemara we see that if you didn't ask for it, you didn't know about it, you didn't want it, nobody could even consider it Mi'ila. Normally there's Mi'ila. Certainly in a case where you weren't aware that the chametz came to Yerushas, you didn't ask for it, you didn't want it, it would not be considered by Yerua, by Yematza. Amalei, so it says, the Mekabel is Molech Shiyotzi. Yes. Just for receiving the loaf of bread, it's not considered mi'ila. When is it considered mi'ila? When you go and you spend use the loaf or give it away. Now you knew you have the loaf. That's when it's ma'il. So kol ha'moitzi ma'as hegdish n'chulin, k'sav shacholin hu ma'il. Whenever I do mi'ila, if I take an item that's hegdish and I spend it, I think I'm not using hegdish. Avzeh ma'il. So according to the maskon of the Gemara, the Gemara is saying as follows. If I say that you're not a benefit from something, and then I give it to you, and you weren't aware of the nether, you would not be considered mi'ila by taking it. However, after you receive it, you go and you transfer it further, or you go and use it, even though it was b'shogeg, you still weren't aware of the nether, then you would be oiva mi'ila. The Ran uses this Gemara as a proof to a machloikis that he has with the Rambam that we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Let's say I go and I say, this item belongs to me. And I go and I say, you may not benefit from it. So the Ran says, if you benefit from it, you're oiva lo yachel dvara, you're oiva the lava bal yachel. The Rambam says, how could I bring you to a situation that you'll be oiva bal yachel? You didn't make a nether. If you make a nether and you violate it, so you should be responsible. But if I make a nether, you should be over bal yachal. The Rambam disagrees. Says the Ran, this Gemara is a gaval de garaya. Because our Gemara is saying that I said that this loaf should be offered to you, and the Gemara is questioning if you're over mila, when you're over mila. But according to the Rambam, why should you be over mila? I made the nether, why are you over mila? So this is a raya. The Ran says that I can make a nether, and you'll be over the laf. The Machna Ephraim, we have to defend the Rambam. The Machna Ephraim defends the Rambam in a very interesting way. He says there are two dinim. There's a din of Bal Yachel as a din of Mi'ila. As far as Bal Yachel, the Rambam says, no one can be over Bal Yachel unless they brought themselves into that situation by they themselves making the nether. However, as far as Mi'ila, the Rambam will agree that even though you didn't create the nether, I created the nether, you could still be oiva mi'ila. Al Gemara, says the Machna Ephraim, is not discussing Bal Yachel. Al Gemara is discussing mi'ila. The Inner Rambam could say that I can make it hegdish and you'll be oiva mi'ila. So as I said earlier, and as the Gemara says, this shail of mi'ila b'kanamis, as we saw as machlokes tanoim, Rameya and Chachamim, and the Ran says that we follow the opinion of Rameya, the yesh mi'ila b'kanamis. The Brisker Rav brings a raya, beautiful raya, from the Pasuk, that yesh mila b'kainamis. He says that we look in the Pasuk that discusses in the Dharm and Shvuas, the Pasuk says, ish ki yida nedel Hashem, o yishav shvua. So he says, how come when the Pasuk speaks about Nedarim, the Pasuk uses the word Lashem? And when the Pasuk uses the word Shvua, it doesn't say Lashem. Says the Brisker Rav, because Nedarim, yesh mila b'kainamis, have a din like Hegdish. So the Torah uses the word Lashem. Shvua, which is only in Issa Gavra, certainly there is no concept of Yesh Mila B'Shvua. That's why the Pasuk doesn't use the word Lashem. Says the Mishnah. Hatarimus Trumasoi Maiser Ladatoi. Tarimus Trumasoi. Even though I made a nether that you may not benefit from me, I could still take off Truma on your behalf. I could take off Maisers on your behalf. Ladatoi. And we'll explain in Mitzvah what Ladatoi means. Or Makrovalov. If I'm a Kohen, I could bring on your behalf, Kinei Zovim, Kinei Zovis, Kinei Yoldis. If somebody's a Zova, male or female, they have to bring certain Kabonis. If some Yoledis has to bring certain Kabonis, Chatis Vashamis, I could bring, if I'm a Kohen, I could bring on your behalf, Chatis Vashem, even though you made a nether that you're not allowed to benefit from me. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, O Malamdoi Medrish, I could teach you Medrish, Halochus Vagodis. I could teach you Torah. So the question is, how could I teach you Torah? You're not allowed to benefit from me. So the Mefarshim answer, the Ran says, mitzvah slav lahen is netnu. So there's no mitzvah here. There's a mitzvah here, there's no hanoah here. So the Taz asks on the Ran. Taz asks on the Ran a gevalda gekasha. He says, we know the pasuk says, "Pekudei Hashem yisharim mesam chelev." There's no greater enjoyment than learning a geshmak shtikl gemara. So how can you say mitzvah lav lahen is netnu regarding Talmud Torah? So the Rashba has a different approach to the Gemara. He says, I would learn anyway. When I'm learning Torah, so if you listen, you listen, but I would sit and learn anyway. That's not considered that you're having anor for me because I would have learned anyway. And actually, the Marach or Zerua says a Gaval de Gavart. He says, the Marach or Zerua asks Akasha, going back to what we learned in the previous year. You made a neder that you're not allowed to benefit from me. So how could you learn Torah from me? You're benefiting from me. Or let's say I made a neder that I may not benefit from you. So if I'm teaching you Torah, I'm benefiting. Because as we learned yesterday, proof to the Rabbi Yosef, while I'm teaching you Torah, certainly a gevaldige mitzvah, I don't have to give tzedakah. So I'm benefiting from you. So again, the Marach or Zeru's kasha is that if I made a neder that I'm not allowed to benefit from you, how could I teach you Torah? If I teach you Torah, I'm benefiting the Brut of the Rabbi Yosef. Answers the Marach Zeruah, like the Rashba says. I would have learned Torah anyway. People are supposed to learn Torah all the time. So what are you saying, that I'm benefiting because of you, because I'm teaching you Torah? I'm potter, and if I wouldn't be teaching you Torah, what does a Jew do with his free time? So it's a learns. So it's not considered that I'm benefiting because of you. So the Mishnah again says, Amalamdoi medrish halachas v'agodis, avloyel nena mikra. I'm not allowed to teach you Chumash. And the Gemara Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow Shir will focus why is Chumash different than all other subjects. I'm Mlamen who is spun off, that's Banois of Mikra. Even though I may not teach you, the halacha is that I may teach your children. There's a Machloikis HaRishonim, which we'll understand better in tomorrow Shir. When it says that I'm allowed to teach your children, doesn't mean in a place where I teach typically for free, so you're not benefiting from me because you wouldn't have paid Schar Limud, you wouldn't have paid tuition anyway. But let's say in a place where you pay tuition, and now if I teach your children Torah for free, you're benefiting because you're saving the tuition money, then I'm not allowed to teach your children? What is the Mishnah teaching us that under all circumstances, that's the way to Rishonim learn? Since I'm not teaching you, I'm teaching your children, even though I'm saving you tuition, it doesn't make a difference, I'm allowed to teach your children Torah. This Mishnah is the basis. There's two Gersos in our Mishnah, which is the basis for a very interesting Shaila. Our Mishnah says, Umalaman es bonav es benois of Mikra. I'm allowed to teach your sons and daughters Mikra. So from here we see that girls are allowed to learn Torah. It says es benois of. There are Gersos of the Mishnah that take out the word es benois of. Based on the Shaila, are girls allowed to learn? And what may girls learn? Others say that certainly our Mishnah is only referring to Mikra, Torah Shavuksav, that everyone agrees girls may learn Torah Shavuksav, and that's why we can have the Girs in the Mishnah as Bonov Vespinoisa of Mikra. There is the famous Chafetz Chaim, when the Beis Yaakov movement wanted to be started, and girls were going to learn subjects that they had never learned previously, that weren't Jewish schools, Hebrew school, for girls previously. The Chafetz Chaim said, Eis lasof l'Hashem eferet ha'resecha. The times have changed, and we can't live as we lived hundreds of years ago without girls receiving a formal Jewish education. And certainly, says the Chafetz Chaim, nowadays, girls certainly are entitled, not just entitled, must receive a full-fledged Jewish education. Ask the Gemara, Ibai Lehu, Hani kahanim shluch didon, shluch d'shmayim. And as the Ran helps us understand the Gemara, the Shaila our Gemara is asking is a Shaila that we find many times in Shas. We know that Kohanim do the Avoida. When Kohanim do the Avoida, who are they representing? Are they representing us, or are they representing, or are they the Shlichim of Hashem? So as the Ran says, actually this is a Sugya Masechta Kedushin, and the Gemara Masechta Kedushin proves conclusively that they're shluchei derachmanim. What's the raya? Because the halach is I can never appoint a shliach to do something on my behalf, which I can do my, which I cannot do myself. I'm Yisrael. I can't bring a carbon. So how could I point you to be, how could I point the kind to be my shliach? So must be, says the Gemara, shluch d'rachman. So ask the Ran, if the Gemara already proves conclusively Masechta Kedushin, shluch d'rachman, why is our Gemara starting with the Shiloh all over again? So I saw three answers to the question. One answer, the Ran says, is that our Gemara indeed knows of the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, but the Gemara wanted to see if we could bring a raya, an answer to this question from a Mishnah. The case, the answer that I quoted from Masechta Kedushin is based on a svara, on logic. We wanted to see if there's a Mishnah, a braisa, that could point us to an answer to this question. Another approach that the Rishonim give is certainly that the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin tells us that the Shluchi de Rachmana. But now the Gemara here is trying to understand how do we understand what the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin. Does the Gemara mean to say that the only Shluchi de Rachmana? Or does the Gemara mean to say that there's some sort of combination? The Shluchi de Rachmana and Shluchi de Don. A third answer that the Rishonim give is certainly the Gemara Masechta Kedushin is telling us conclusively that if I'm a Yisrael and I bring a carbon, the Kayin who's offering the carbon is not my shliach. Because I can't bring my own carbon, I'm a Yisrael. The Gemara here is asking Yishayla, let's say I'm a Kayin. So if I wanted, I could have brought the carbon. I'm a Kayin. Now another Kayin is bringing the carbon on my behalf, is doing the actual Avoida. So the Gesvara, the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin, is no longer applicable. Because I could have done it myself. And if I could have done it myself, maybe I could appoint a shliach. The Gemara is asking, when a Kayin offers a carbon on behalf of another Kayin, is he shluchi de don or shluchi de rachmana? So the Mefarshim ask, why isn't there a gevaldige raya from the Torah? The Torah teaches us that a goy could donate a carbon. Now a goy certainly cannot offer his own carbon. A goy certainly can't do avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. So why is the Gemara not bringing raya from the fact that goyim could donate karbonis, which are offered by the Kohanim, that certainly Kohanim are shluchi de rachmana? So one teretz that the Mefarshim give is that the only type of carbon that a goy could bring is a carbon nedava. A goy is never obligated to bring a carbon. And our Gemara is discussing karbonis that one is obligated to bring. When a person brings a carbon that he's mechuyev to bring, how do we view the kayin, shluchi de don, shluchi de rachmana, which we can't bring a raya from a guy, because a guy is never in a situation that he's mechuyev to bring a carbon. Another answer that they give is the carbon that a guy brings and the carbon that a Jew brings, although physically it's the same carbon, and maybe even the way the carbon is offered on the Mizbeach is the same, it comes from a totally different place. And therefore, we can't compare the carbon of a Jew to the carbon of a goy. And therefore, maybe by goy, it's certainly shluchi de rachmana, but that doesn't give us an answer. What is the status when a Jew brings a carbon? Is it shluchi de, is the kayin viewed as shluchi de don or shluchi de rachmana? So again, ask the Gemara, Ibailu, hani kahani, shluchi de don have or shluchi de shmaya? Ask the Gemara, lamai nafkamina. To the case that we just learned, lamuda hano, if I made a nether that I can't benefit from a kayin, I amrit shluchi de don have a, that the kayin is my shliach, so that kayin would not be allowed to bring my carbon. Because mahanelev asur, I'm benefiting from that kayin when he brings the carbon on my behalf. However, v'yamet shluchi d'shmaya, if we say the kayin is not my shliach, he's from shemayim, shari, then it would be mutter. Because I'm not, he's not doing anything for me, he's doing his job that God gave him. My, what's the halacha? Says Mar Tashma, let's look at our Mishnah. That nan, that if I said that this kayin, I may not benefit from the kayin, still the halacha is the kayin could bring my kabonis. So how could the kayin bring the carbon on my behalf? It must be shluchid rechmona. Says the Gemara Tamech. So you're saying that our Mishnah is a proof that shluchid rechmona, because it was shluchi de don, a kayin that I'm not allowed to benefit from would never be allowed to bring a carbon on my behalf. But now ask the Gemara a different question. Listing makrov of karbonis. When we learned to the Mishnah that taught us that if I'm not allowed to benefit from a kohen, the Mishnah says that the kohen could still bring my karbonis. Why did the Mishnah just start detailing kinezovim, kinezovis, kineyoldis? Why don't you just say makrov of karbonis? Simple. Ella mechusu karbonis kaparashani. As the Rishonim explained, there are two types of karbonis. Sometimes a person brings a carbon. He did an Aveira. He wants to bring a Neder or a Nedava. There he brings a carbon. And sometimes a person brings a carbon because until the carbon is brought, he's not allowed to eat kachim. He's not allowed to go into the base of Migdash. The carbonists that our Mishnah is referring to are all in that category. The Omer of Yochanan, Hakot Tzrichim Das, if I bring a carbon, and according to the way we're explaining, it's beautiful. If I'm bringing a carbon, so why am I bringing a carbon? I did an Aveira, and I want to have a kapara. So if I don't realize what I'm doing, what's the point of the carbon? Just to bring an animal? Is that any point? Chutz mi mechusar kapara. A chusar kapara, I'm not bringing the carbon because I want a kapara. I didn't necessarily even do an aveira. A zovin azovin didn't necessarily do an aveira. It's a physical ailment. A Yoledis had a child. She didn't necessarily do an aveira. Just the carbon has to be brought because without that, they can't eat kachim. Without the carbon, they can't go into the base of Mikdash. Where is our Mishnah saying that the kohen, who I'm not allowed to benefit from, may bring a carbon on my behalf. Only by the carbon which is mechusri kapara. But the carbon which is not mechusri kapara, where the carbon really needs my involvement, maybe a kohen that I'm not allowed to benefit from, can't bring the carbon on my behalf. Says the Ran, you know, this raya is so geschmack that maybe it should be clearly a raya that the kohanim ashluchi didan. And since our Mishnah only speaks about karbonis on mechusri kapara, shouldn't our Mishnah be a raya that any other carbon, the kohen who I'm not allowed to benefit from, can't bring on my behalf because it's shluchid rechmana? Says the Rambam, you can't bring a raya for the Mishnah that way either, because although we just explained one reason why a kohen who I may not benefit from should be more usher to bring the carbon that's not mechusri kapara, you could argue the other way also, says the Ran. Because the Ran says, in a carbon that without this carbon being brought, I can't eat kachim. I can't go into the base of Migdash. The kohen who's bringing the carbon on my behalf is really benefiting me. The carbon that's only brought because I have to bring a carbon, but it doesn't have any tangible benefit, is a lot less. So therefore the Ran says, from our Mishnah, we don't have a raya. What's the raya that a carbon can be brought even in a mechusri kapara, even without the active involvement of the person who's mechuyev a carbon? So in order maybe carbon al bonav al benoisav, a person could bring a carbon on behalf of his children haktanim who don't have das. How do we know? Shenemar, because the pasuk uses the words zois tyrus azov ben gadol ben katan. Even if the katan was azov, and he certainly doesn't understand karbonis, his father could bring a carbon on his behalf. Ask the Gemara, we're saying that wherever the Torah uses, according to Rabbi Yochanan, where the Torah uses the word Zois Tyrus, it comes to include Gedolim and Mektanim. Ask the Gemara, Elamat, Rabbi Yochanan, the Torah says Zois Tyrus HaYiladis. Following Rabbi Yochanan's way of learning, the Pasuk is teaching us Ben Ktana Ben Gedolah. That the Ktana, whether she's a Ktana or she's a Gedolah, if she's a Yiladis, the carbon is brought. Ask the Gemara, Ketana bas ledihi? Could a girl who's a Ketana bring a carbon? V'atani rabibi kamei d'Rav Nachman. Sholosh noshim mishamshes b'moich. Three women may use a cloth to absorb the semen, this type of contraception. Ketana umaberes v'nika. Why? Ketana shem tis aber v'tomis. So we see that a Ketana can't have children. So ask the Ran, it doesn't say that Ketana can't have children. She may not survive. How do we know that she, maybe the case is that she became pregnant and Baruch Hashem survived. So the Ran says that we learned the Masechta Yevamos, that if we see a Ketana got pregnant and had a child, it's a raya that she's not a Ketana anymore. So it's not possible to have a girl who's a Ketana and should have children. So now the question is, how can we say, Rav Yochanan says whatever the Torah uses the word Zois Tyrus, it comes to add a Ketana, by your letters it can't be a Ketana. So Ramesh asks Gevaldik Akasha. He says, we know that using contraception is awesome. Hashchas zera levatala. This girl, we are allowed to use contraception because we're afraid that she may not survive. Why don't we just say they shouldn't have relations? Says Rav Moshe, part of being married, as we've learned many times, is that a husband is obligated to have relations with his wife, and not having relations is not an option. And therefore, if there's a health concern, preferably use the moich versus not having relation. So what does that Torah say let us come to teach us? Answer the Mahari, Zoyz Torah say let us come to teach us ben pikras ben shaita. That no matter what mental state somebody's wife is in, he brings the carbon on her behalf. She can order maybe carbon alish to shaita, kediv Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says a person brings a carbon for his wife even if she's a shaita. The Tanya of Yehuda Omer, order maybe carbon oshal ishtai. The certain carbonas depends on your financial status. So do you look at the husband status or the wife status? Says the Rabbi Yehuda, you look at the husband status. The call carbonas shechayavis, or carbonas that a wife is obligated to bring, the husband brings on her behalf. Sheken kosovla, that's what it says in the ksuba. The chrayis, the lislach alai, bekadmus tano. All responsibilities you have, I, the husband, have to assume. But the Torah, how you led this, does not come to speak about a ketana, because there is no ketana that could have a child.